Blog Talk Radio.
Get that and do it.
I'm going to, as I said, I'm going to post it on the website because it is the primary tenet of which the people of Israel, the children of the Most High Elohim, are supposed to be striving toward, to do. This evening, you know, the Most High just put it on my heart, not to make it anything too deep, want to look at the high places. So see, we have spiritual high places, and then we have high places that are in our mind. And we want to deal with this because this is one of the commandments that the Most High gave the children of Israel when they went into the Promised Land. And so we're going to read this, and then we're going to look and see that this commandment, the Most High actually really still holds to it. And I was thinking about something. You know, we are in the land of liberty in the United States. If you are free to worship the Most High wherever you're at in the world, then you would also be in the land of liberty. But this is the goddess of this land, the goddess Columbia, the goddess of liberty. And that liberty is to worship whatever God you want to worship. And as I was going back over this precept, I was like, wow, why didn't I see this before? The Most High sent us into a land that is the exact opposite of what he wants. See, in our land, we're going to read this, you weren't allowed to worship whatever God you wanted to worship. We were only supposed to worship the Most High Elohim, and if it was any other God, if anybody spoke about any other God, they were to be dealt with. Now we are in a land that is the exact opposite. You worship whatever you want to worship. Doesn't matter who can tell you who your God is, and that's the premise behind this country. You have liberty to worship whatever you want to worship. But it is not so with our Elohim. It is not so with him. And so, you know, it's like a perfect curse. Oh, you wouldn't worship me when you were in your own land and all you had to do was just worship me. So now I'm going to put you in a land where it's going to be impossible. It's impossible for you to complete this because the land I'm going to send you into, they worship everything, anything and everything. And if you try to obey this commandment, then you're going to be taken out. But still, we need to know what the intent is. We need to understand that the Elohim that we serve said, don't worship anybody else. Don't worship anything else. And if it's said that somebody in of your people is worshiping somebody else, they were to be dealt with. One of those commandments was tearing down the high place. And when I went through this, as I went from, you know, reading through the king, and, you know, it's amazing, but reading through the kings, this accusation was brought against all the kings. I was like, wow. So, you know, nothing too deep. Just understanding that we were sent into a place that, yeah, anything goes. But it wasn't, you know, that was never the intent of the Most High toward us. And by him sending us into this land and us understanding that, we like are between a rock and a hard spot. You know, and it has to be by his mercy and his grace that he says, okay, you worship only me. When you had all these choices, then you choose to worship me. When I was the only choice, then you choose to worship somebody else. I mean, it's just crazy. Anyway, let us do our statement of faith. And pray in, and we will get into, like I said, this is not a deep and a heavy lesson because I know the lesson on Friday ruffled some feathers. As I said, it's not for the faint of heart. We don't want to get into our emotions. When I was discussing that same topic with my wife today, it got heated. And I'm like, you know, we got to stay out of our emotions. We need to look at where we are at. Can't do anything. You know, it's not meant as an attack on the women because a lot of women, I think, may have taken it that way. I don't know. But it's not meant to be an attack on the women. It is to show us this spirit that came out of slavery with us, with our women. And as y'all showed it to me, we are still greatly affected. So when we pick this back up on, I don't know if we're going to do it Monday or Wednesday. I will pick. But as an ongoing series, so I'm just going to bring some numbers because we have to ask ourselves, why is this? And we, you know, we have to deal with things at the root. And then once we can see the root, then we can deal with it. And we have to deal with all things, all, both genders, male and female, starting, as I said, with the female, because I believe she is the key. You know, everybody want to say that, the woman was less than. But that's not how the Most High sees the woman. And he actually holds her in the high esteem. He just put the man in charge. So we have to start with her because she is the key. You women are the key. Okay. But nevertheless, I hope we don't get caught up in our feelings because, you know, I expect some emotion. I really do. Because a lot of us are hurting and a lot of us have gone through some things. And a lot of forgiveness needs to take place. But we still have to deal with these things nevertheless. So our statement of faith, and we're going to just be doing the high places, something a little lighter. And then when we jump back into the series, I'm sure things will heat back up again. All right, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim. It is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise this evening. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Yah. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for always having us before you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you for your salvation and your redemption. Thank you for allowing us to see just what you require of us, Father. We don't have to guess. We don't have to make it up. All we got to do is follow your word, Father. We thank you for just giving it to us and allowing us to be able to do that which pleases you. Hallelujah. And we just want to just glorify you this afternoon, Father, this evening. For being our Elohim, there was none like you. No, not one. There was none anywhere in the creation, Father. And we just thank you for caring enough about us to look down upon us. We, a piece of dirt, hallelujah, that you would look at us and consider us. So, Father, we thank you for that. We glorify you. We lift you up. We magnify your name. We extol you. We honor you on this your day. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Glory to Yah. Let me have the ladies to cover their head. Men, uncover your head. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people to keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you will forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, that we have walked contrary to you, that you have walked contrary to us. You have said, but if we would turn from our wicked ways, and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us, by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have done wickedly, that we have walked contrary to you. And, Father, we are turning from our wicked ways, and we're turning towards you. We pray that you would hear our supplications and our prayers, and our testimony will be to the nations. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you will smile upon this work, that you will give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let us go. 1 Kings. Starting in verse 46. Because there is, again, as I say, this is the prayer that Solomon made when he dedicated the first temple, the first house of the Most High. And, you know, because it addresses when we are in the land and when we are out of the land, I just feel like it's just appropriate for us. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron. That thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest out our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen, amen. All right. Let us start this thing off. Let us go to the book of John, chapter 4, verse 20. As I've said before, I want to take us back, something lighter for this evening. We just want to look at the woman at the well, okay, when Messiah came into Samaria. We're just going to look at one verse that she said, because I think it's important that we understand what she is saying and what Messiah is saying to her, okay? But the book of John, chapter 4, and we're just going to read verse 20. The book of John, chapter 4, and verse 20. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now, she's saying something here, and if you know our history, if you know what the Most High told, then she's saying, hey, we worship in this mountain, in these high places, okay? And the Most High told our people not to do this. But she's telling you it's one of the reasons that the Most High scattered, caused the northern kingdom to be destroyed, because they were doing this. But it wasn't just them doing it. King Solomon was guilty of this. All of the kings, except for a couple, were guilty of this. So let's read what the Most High says concerning this, because, you know, the scriptures can become disjointed, and the stories can become disjointed if you don't have a way of putting them back together to understand that why the Most High destroyed the northern kingdom and why Solomon lost the kingdom, why it was taken from his son. Solomon lost the kingdom for doing this. And the reason that he did it was behind some women, according to the scripture. Okay? But he caused, you know, the wisest man in the world caused the kingdom of Judah to be taken, to be split into two. Actually caused Israel to be split into two, northern and southern kingdom. Solomon did that. So let's see what the Most High says concerning this thing. Let us go to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13. And we're going to read verses 12 through 17. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13, verses 12 through 17. If thou shalt hear tell concerning one of thy cities, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee to dwell there, saying, certain base fellows are gone out from the midst of thee, and have drawn away the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known. Then shalt you inquire, and make search, and ask diligently, and behold, if it be true, the thing certain, that such an abomination is wrought or done in the midst of thee, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof, with the edge of the sword. And thou shalt gather all the spoil of it into the midst of the street thereof, and shall burn with fire the city, and all the spoil thereof every whit, unto Yah thy Elohim, and it shall be a heap forever. It shall not be built again, and there shall cleave not of devoted things to thy hand, and that Yah may turn from the fierceness of his anger, and show thee mercy, and have compassion upon thee, and multiply thee, as he has sworn unto thy father. So this is just a warning that anybody, you know, the scriptures say, if one of your children, or your husband, or your wife, or your niece, or your nephew, your uncle, your auntie, anybody, if you hear them talking about worshiping another god, the scripture tells you you're supposed to grab them. Be the first one to cast the first stone. Now, we know we don't do that today, but this is how serious this is. Now, he says, now, if you find some men going out and saying, telling a city to worship another god other than Yah, our Elohim, he says, you were to destroy that city with the edge of the sword. Kill everybody in it, even the cattle. And everything that was holy or devout, you were to take into the street and burn. And destroy that city. It was never to be rebuilt again. So this is the premise. Yah did not want us worshiping other gods. We didn't have the liberty to worship whatever we wanted to. But he sent us into a captivity where we're at liberty to worship whatever we want to. And when we choose not to worship him, what does it say about us? When we choose to worship another god. So this type of captivity proves where your heart is at. Will you choose Yah when you got a choice? Because when we were in our land, we didn't really have a choice. And it was a death sentence if you got caught worshiping someone else, something else. Now, let's continue here. So you see that, I've read that so that we could see just how serious an offense this is. That whole city was to die. Not just the men that said, let's go worship other gods, but if these people followed those men, he says, go and ask questions, investigate thoroughly, and if it is proven, destroy that city. That's deep. That's deep. Our Elohim don't play, and he does terrible things. And he wants us to know that he does terrible things. He told us. It's a requirement that we understand that he does terrible things. Go to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter 7. And we're going to start in verse 1. Now, this is when the children of Israel were going up against the city of Ai. And the Most High, you know, they were losing. They were trying to figure out why they were losing. Oh, it's a small city. We don't need that many people to take it. But then they found out somebody took something that they weren't supposed to take. So let's read this account. The book of Joshua, chapter 7. And just a minute, chapter 7. Starting in verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebedee, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took up the accursed thing, and the anger of Yah was kindled against the children of Israel. Now, this is one man. And what I want us to do when we read this story is understand that the sin of one man can affect everybody in the nation or in the camp when the Most High is in the mix. That's why we can't be saying it's okay if you walk in sin, because the Most High will leave everyone. He'll punish everyone for the sin of one man. We go to do battle. One of us is walking in sin, and we wonder why we're not getting the victory. Because there's sin in the camp. Let's look at this. One man. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Hagen, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor there, for there be but few. So there went up there of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. Ai was kicking their butt, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. Now remember, for any man, this we got to understand that the Most High made Israel a promise that none of them would die in battle, that they would inherit the land that he gave to them. So for 36 men to die, something was wrong. And for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shabarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Now when the Most High, they've been winning every battle. Nobody's been dying. And then all of a sudden they got 36 men to die. They lost their heart. What do you mean? Somebody died. Ain't nobody supposed to die. And Joshua rent or tore his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of Yah until the evening time, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Yah Elohim, wherefore or why hast thou at all brought this people over the Jordan? To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to Elohim we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Oh, Yah, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemy? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ around us or us around and cut off our name from the earth. What wilt thou do unto thy great name? And Yah said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned. Wait a minute. One man sinned. But the Most High said, who sinned? Israel, the entire nation. There is a spot. There is some dirt on my garments. one of you have sins. But he didn't say one man. He said the whole nation. And the whole nation, yeah, I said, you know what? I can't be with y'all. This is important for us because we got to know as we come together as a body, it's important that we are not practicing willful sin because y'all will leave us. He will turn away until we put that person away, the one that's doing it. So let's see what happens here. Let's continue. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing and have stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Now, he's telling Joshua what's happened, but he's not telling Joshua who it is. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were cursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. And people, you know, today people say, well, why is the Most High doing it to everybody for one person? Because he wants a holy nation. He don't want there to be no sin amongst us. You say you represent me? One of you can cause me to turn against all of you. I will not be with you anymore unless you do something about this. See, we don't want to say, oh, well, that wasn't, you know, it wasn't me. Most High doesn't play that. Now, he could have told Joshua exactly who it was, but he didn't. Let's see what he did. Sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith Yah Elohim of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou cannot stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribe. And it shall be that the tribe which Yah taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which Yah shall take shall come by household. And the household which Yah shall take shall come by man, man by man. So each tribe, they had to line up. They had to come family by family, and then man by man. Who has sinned amongst you all? Now remember, this is in the millions of people. And Yah could have just said, hey, it was Achan. But he wants them to see, he wants them to be, he wants an example to be set. Okay, I'm not with you. So anytime you go out to battle now, you're going on your own. And if y'all die, it's because of you got an accursed thing amongst you. One of the things, I told you not to take these things. Anything holy, people worship, don't you take it. I don't care if it's solid gold. I don't care how valuable it is. You were supposed to take it into the middle of the street and burn it. But it's not what happened. So let's see what the Most High did. Verse 15. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of Yah, and because he has wrought or done folly in Israel. Now, the very same thing that was supposed to be done to this artifact that was taken, he says, you were supposed to burn this thing and everything associated with it. Now, everything you have and you are going to burn. You're going to suffer the punishment that you were supposed to put on this thing. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribe, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of Zerah, and he brought the family of Zerahites man by man, and Zebedee was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebedee, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to Elohim, to Yah Elohim of Israel. and make confession unto him and tell me now without what thou hast done. Hid it, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, I indeed have sinned against Yah, Elohim of Israel, and thus have I done. And when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua, unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before Yah. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? Yah shall trouble thee this day. And all the children, all of Israel, stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. And after they had stoned them with stones, and they raised over them a great heap of stones unto this day, so Yah turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Now, so Yah is serious about us possessing things that were used for the worship of other gods. And this example, again, is showing us that he didn't pray. And he didn't just hold one man accountable. You got 36 men killed because of what you did. You got a bad reputation sent out about us and the Most High because of what you did. So the sin didn't just affect him, not only his wife, his children, everything he had. Just as it was supposed to be done, as Yah had told them to do, if you find a city, you go into that city, you destroy everybody that is worshiping another god. And then you take all their holy things, you bring them out in the middle of the street, and you burn them. So Achan suffered this penalty because he valued something that was used in the worship of other deities. Let's continue. Jeroboam, Solomon, sinned and built these altars. Now, this really kind of befuddles me. It confuses me. Solomon being the wisest man that there ever could be, that was, you know, that's what he prayed to the Most High for. And he was known for his wisdom. But he still did something that the Most High didn't forgive him for. And that was to build these altars and these high places in Israel for his different wives so that they could worship their God. Now, it's got, you know, I'm kind of confused with that. Because Solomon had conversations with the Most High, and the Most High talked to Solomon, visited him twice. But he still did this thing behind a woman or women. So the Most High said, because of David, your father, I'm not going to take the kingdom from you, but I'm going to take it from your son. I'm going to rend or rip the kingdom from him. And I'm going to leave one tribe for David's sake. The Levites didn't belong to Israel. The Levites belonged to the Most High Elohim. The Levites didn't have a possession in the land. So the Levites were left in Jerusalem. And the other 10 tribes were ripped from Solomon's son, Rehoboam. Okay? They were taken from him by the Most High. The man that he gave them to, when the Most High gave them to him, was an honorable man. But he feared Solomon and Rehoboam, and he ran into Egypt for fear of his life. And when Solomon was dead, then he came back into the northern kingdom, and the Most High gave him the 10 tribes. But because of his fear that he's going to lose the people, that if they go to Jerusalem and worship the Most High Elohim, the Most High didn't give them a temple in the northern kingdom. The temple was still in Jerusalem. And when it came to Passover and all those feast days, they were still supposed to go to Jerusalem. But Jeroboam feared that if the people went to Jerusalem, or if he went to Jerusalem, he'd be killed, or if the people went, they wouldn't be able to return. So what did he do? He built two altars in the northern kingdom. And remember when we were reading in Exodus about the Passover and about how the Most High said that the Egyptians worshiped the cow? And so he killed the first of all the cattle in Egypt as well. Jeroboam went back to Egypt and brought back calf worship and put them on these two altars, the images of these two calves, Okay, now let's read this, or close to it. Yah first refers to the high places in the context of a stern warning in the Levitical law, after he had reminded the Israelites of all the blessings that would be theirs for obeying him, if they would disobey him and serve idols, he would destroy their high places. What that meant is in reality was that he would find someone obedient to him who would get the job done, to a proof that would prove to be much harder and take much longer than it should have. Let's go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 26. The book of Leviticus, chapter 26. Now, we are commanded to destroy the high places of other gods and to cut down their images and their altars. Leviticus, chapter 26, starting in verse 30. I will destroy your high places and cut down your incense altars. I will heap your carcasses on the carcasses of your idols. I will abhor you. This general warning later became a very specific prophecy, which was actually carried out by Yah's servant Joshua. Or Josiah, about whom we will read in a minute. These high places are identified in Numbers as places of pagan worship that belong to the people of the Israelites were to drive out. So let's go to the book of Numbers, because the Most High promises that all those people who worshiped in the high places, that he would do what? He would heap their carcasses on the altars of their idols. Numbers chapter 33. Let's get verses 50 through 52. The book of Numbers, chapter 33, verses 50 through 52. And Yah spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab, by the Jordan of Jericho, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you pass over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you, and destroy all their figure stones, and destroy all their molten images, and demolish all their high places. Yah's word was very clear. When they went into the promised land, they were to destroy the high places, which were shrines and altars built on mountaintops and elevated places in order to be closer to their pagan gods. This was a common practice among the nations, and Yah did not want his people to corrupt themselves by thinking that they were going to be closer to him by being on a mountain. Yah was drawn near to his people by giving them his word, spoken to them directly through the prophet Moses. The physical elevation of the high places was symbolic of an attempt on people's part to approach Yah based upon their ideals and not the basis on what he required. Unfortunately, this simple directive to demolish the high places almost never got done, as we shall see. First, we should note that Joshua, who led the children of Israel into the promised land, did not bring down the high places. Neither did any of the judges bring them down. Let's go to the book of 2 Samuel. The book of 2 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 19. Thy glory, O Israel, is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? 1 Kings. Chapter 3, verse 2. Now we're going to see what Israel was doing. before the temple was built. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 2. And hold on a minute. I may want to get more than verse 2 there. Let me bring this up. Let's read verses 1 and 2. And 3. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of Yah and the wall of Jerusalem around about. Only the people sacrificed where? In the high places. They were supposed to be taking this away from the people when they moved into the land. But Israel themselves are what? Doing it. Because there was no house built unto the name of Yah until those days. And Solomon loved Yah, walking in the statutes of David his father. What is the accusation against Solomon? Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in what? High places. He followed after David his father in everything but that. He burnt incense and sacrificed in the high places. This is where they were commanded to tear down the high places. They were commanded not to even, you know, to tear them down when they found them of the nation. Israel was not supposed to be doing it. But here's Solomon, and we read that Israel was worshiping where? In the high places. These altars that they found, rather than destroying, they start using them and use them to sacrifice to the Most High Elohim. And the Most High was like, I told y'all not to do that. And Solomon, since Solomon loved Yah, and he followed in the steps of his father David, only he burned incense and sacrificed in the high places. He should have never been doing that. And the Most High held that against him because it had it written. Only he didn't tear down those high places like I told him to. He offended in that thing just like the people were offending in it. The altars of Baal, which is translated in English, Lord, the altars of Baal were made in the high places. And they sacrificed their sacrifices up there to whatever they did to Baal. And then Israel comes along and takes those same altars and start sacrificing to the Most High in them, and then thinking that the Most High was accepting of those sacrifices. And he wasn't. And he held it against the kings for not enforcing it. So Solomon, the wisest man in the world, married Pharaoh's daughter of Egypt. And he put some altars up in the high places. And he burnt incense and offered sacrifices up in the high places. Let's continue. So we can love Yah and still do the wrong thing. Let us go to First Kings, well, we just read this, 3 and 3. Go to 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23, and let's get verse 13. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon the king of Israel had built, for Asherah, the abomination of the Zidians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. After his death, Solomon's son Rehoboam clashed with Jeroboam, and the kingdom split. Now, I sort of told us about this. And Jeroboam became the king of Israel and led the people into idolatry by erecting golden calves in Bethel. Go to 1 Kings, chapter 12. So we see, while we're going to 1 Kings, chapter 12, we see that Solomon built these altars and these temples in the high places to these different gods, Asherah and Chemosh and Milcom First Kings chapter 12, verse 32. And Jeroboam placed in Bethel the priest of the high places, which he made, instead of being faithful to Yah, commanded that only Levite priest Jeroboam even let anyone who wanted to be a priest be one. You can read that in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 33. Let's actually go there and get that so we understand what he did. It wasn't the Levites that were high priests in the northern kingdom. Jeroboam feared that the people would leave him. So 1 Kings chapter 13, 33. And after this thing, Jeroboam returned not after his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. So Jeroboam took the poor people, and he said, hey, if you want to be a priest, then I'll make you a priest, and I will consecrate you, and you will be a priest of the high places. And whosoever would do it, he consecrated, but he did it from the poor, the lowest in the land. He made his own priesthood. And this was not the Levite. So, and this is important. Why? Because when the Most High has the king of Assyria to come and take everybody from the northern kingdom into Babylon. No, not a Babylon, my mistake, into Assyria. Some people escaped, and you can read that in the Second Chronicles, like chapter 30, 31. Some of the people escaped, and they lived still in Israel. But they were still practicing these evil ways. So when we read the scriptures, we have to know that the Most High, some people escaped, but they continue to do these practices. They worshiped in the high places. They practiced voodoo, witchcraft. So let's continue. So he made his own priesthood. When the king of Assyria, when the people complained that the lions were coming and attacking them, and the king of Assyria said, well, send back one of the priests that we took out of the land. Then you can see that it was not the Levitical priesthood that they took out of the land. They took one of these priests that Jeroboam made and said, go back and teach the people. So what they were going to teach the people? They taught them to fear the Most High Elohim, but they also taught them to continue to worship and to sacrifice in the high places. That's what they were the priests of. So they continued to teach them what corrupt ways. So let's go back. 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13, starting in verse 2, and then we'll drop down to verse 32. Because this man, this prophet comes and he prophesies against this altar that Jeroboam has put up. And he cried against the altar in the word of Yah and said, O altar, altar, thus saith Yah, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Yahshua, or Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. So this prophet is telling them that, hey, the priest of the high places, they were going to be burnt on this altar for the same which he cried by the word of Yah against the altar in Bethel and against all the houses of the high places, which are in this. Now we're dropping down to verse 32. For the same which he cried for the word of Yah against the altar of Bethel and against all the high places, which are in the cities of Samaria, shall surely come to pass. Let's start looking at the kings, the different kings, because from the time of Joshua, the people were supposed to tear down these high places. And we're going to find out that from king to king to king, they didn't do it. And whether they were an evil king or whether Yah considers them to be a good king, he still had this accusation. So let's go read about the king and how the Most High held them responsible for these altars in these high places. King Asa, Jeroboam's grandson, was a good king of Israel, but also failed to remove the high places. He is one of the few kings of both Israel and Judah who were described as being good kings, except for the fact that he failed to remove the high places. This shows Yah's grace and mercy upon those who were not exactly living up to his expectations, but who were nevertheless pleasing him in some way. Others were terrible kings who only worshiped pagan gods on the high places. Let's go to 1 Kings, chapter 15. And we're going to get verse 14. Now, this is concerning King Asa. And the last thing that he says about King Asa was, but the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with Yah all his days. But the high places weren't removed. Kings chapter 22. First Kings chapter 22, verse 43. And he, Jehoshaphat, Asa's son, walked in all the ways of Asa, his father. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of Yah. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered and burnt incense yet in the high places. So this king walked before Yah perfectly. He didn't turn to the right or the left. But the Most High still had an accusation against them. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away. After Jehoshaphat, there were a string of kings that also failed to remove the high places. How easy it is to see the power of example. What each king did not do made it easier for those who followed to ignore also. So when the kings of Judah, the kings of Israel, when one king failed to do it, the next king failed to do it. Then the next king, then the next king. Because they didn't take it seriously. But at the end of their epitaph, at the end of their life story, at the end of their reign, the Most High said, this was a good king, yet he didn't do everything that I said to do. Let's look at some others. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 15. No, we read that. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 12. 2 Kings chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. In the seventh year of Jehu began Joash to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the eyes of Yah all the days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away. The people were still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. Go to 2 Kings, chapter 14. And it gets verses 1 through 4. 2 Kings, chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. In the second year of Joash, son of Joash, king of Israel, began Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, to reign. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the eyes of Yah. Yet not like his father David, he did according to all that Joash his father had done. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. 2 Kings, chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. 16 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. 52 years. And his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the eyes of Yah, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 32 through 35. 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 32 through 35. In the second year of Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, began Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jerusha, and the daughter of Zadok. And he did that was right in the eyes of Yah. He did according to all his father Uzziah had done. Howbeit the high places were taken away. Howbeit the high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. He built the upper gates of the house of Yah. Let's go to 2 Kings, chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 years Ahaz when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and he did not that which was right in the eyes of Yah, his Elohim, like David his father. But he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. Yea, he made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the nation, whom Yah cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed burnt incense in the high places, on the hills and under every green tree. Now, this king, the Most High didn't just have the accusation against him that he didn't take away the high places, but he also sacrificed in the forests that were raised to Asherah and on the hills to that were dedicated to these other gods. So he didn't do that, which was didn't follow after his father or in the footsteps of David. But he did that which was evil. But what we can see is that the Most High is bringing his accusation against every king. They were good kings, but they didn't do everything that Yah said to do. And he lets you know that they didn't do everything that I told them to do. I told them, when you go into this country, when you drive the inhabitants out, destroy their altars in the high places. But our forefathers didn't do that from the very beginning. They used these altars. And Yah kept bringing his accusation against the king. And when each king's bio was created, the new king coming in should have read that and said, oh, but he didn't tear down the what? High place. Maybe I should go tear down these high places. But they didn't do that. Let us go to Second Kings, chapter 17. Second Kings, chapter 17, verses 1 through 12. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel, and reigned 9 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Yah, yet not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria. And Hoshea became his servant and brought him tribute. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and offered no tribute to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. In the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Assyria, took the king of Assyria took Samaria, and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah on the Habor, the river Gozan, in the cities of the Medes. And it was so because the children of Israel had sinned against Yah their Elohim, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods and walked in the statutes of the nation, whom Yah cast out from before the children of Israel and the kings of Israel which they made. And the children of Israel did secretly things that were not right against Yah, their Elohim. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the towers of the watchmen to the fortified cities. And they set them up pillars and Asherim upon every hill. Now, Asherims were places of worship for Asherah. And under every green tree, and there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the nations whom Yah carried away before them. And they wrought or did wicked things to provoke Yah to anger. And they served idols, whereof Yah said unto them, you shall not do this thing. Samaria was a place made particularly notorious for mixing all kinds of pagan worship with the worship of Yah. Let's go to verse 29. In the same chapter, drop down to 29. Howbeit, every nation made gods of their own or Elohims of their own and put them in houses of high places, which the Samaritans had made. The Samaritans were our forefathers. This is not the Assyrians. Because when we read this, people might say, oh, the Samaritans, that woman of Samaria, that wasn't our forefathers. Yes, this is our forefathers, the ones that were taken out of the land, that Yah eventually came and took out of the land. They were doing this stuff. So let's continue. Howbeit, every nation made gods of their own and put them into the houses of the high places, which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. So these nations that the king of Assyria transplanted into Samaria or Israel, the northern kingdom, they used the high places that the Samaritans, our forefathers, built. They brought and start worshiping their own gods in these altars, in these high places that Israel built, in other words. So what Yah had told them to do, when I drive out these nations, tear down these high places, tear down their altars, don't do to me what they do to their gods. Israel, the northern kingdom, did it everywhere. And when the king of Assyria transplanted these people into the land, and said, oh, look, these altars in all these high places, let us worship our God in these high places. The Most High, when he sent Israel in there, they were supposed to have torn these things down, yet they were the ones building them. They copied the people that had been replaced, that they replaced in the land. They copied after them. Now the king of Assyria comes and conquers them and transplants some people into the land, and they start using these altars to worship their God that our forefathers built. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 41. Now, let's just read this, because it's important that we understand this, because, and the reason why I say it's important that we read this and understand it, this goes to the pagan worship that is going on today in all the countries of the world, when we're celebrating these pagan holidays and tying the Most High to them. When Christians tie the Most High to a pagan holiday, this is what this is speaking to. So let's read this account so we understand that we're not to do that. We can't take something that was used to worship another god, a day that we used to worship another god, and say, oh, we'll just worship the Most High and we'll make this ceremony to him and we'll worship in this place and we'll just put his name on it. So we have a celebration just like the people in the land. When they're celebrating, we're celebrating, but we're celebrating Yah, not their God. No, the Most High said, don't do that. Don't tie my name to anything that is tied to this other God, pagan God, this one that is made up. So let's read this. Let's go to that chapter. We're already in that chapter. Let's start reading this account, because this is important so that we understand not to do what they did. Let's start in verse 29, 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 29. Am I in the wrong place? Looks like I got the wrong verse quoted there. Oh, I'm in the wrong book. My bad. Sun is in my eye. I got an excuse. I'm in 1 Kings. I need to be in 2 Kings, chapter 17. All right, starting in verse 29. Howbeit, every nation made Elohims of their own and put them in the houses of the high places, which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their city wherein they dwelt. And the men of Babylon made Succoth Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nargal. The men of Hamath made Ashima, and the Havites made Nimhaz, and the Tertaks, and the Savartites burnt their children in the fire to Adrimelech and Amimelech, and the gods of the Savartans. So they feared Yah, and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. Now, didn't I tell you we read where Jeroboam made the lowest of the people priests in the high places, whosoever would take it? Now, we didn't read it, but if we went back higher and read, we would find out that when the king of Assyria transplanted people into the land and they started using these high places to worship their own God, they also did the same thing. This priest came back and taught them how to sacrifice and worship where? In the high places. They did the exact same thing. They made the lowest of them high priests of the high places. So they copied the pattern that Jeroboam put in place. Israel has been taken. Some of them escaped. The people, the king of Assyria transplanted people into the land. The Most High sends in lions into the land to attack the people, and the people say, hey, we don't know the God of the land. The king of Assyria said, well, send back one of the priests that we took out of the land, this false priest, the ones that were consecrated and declared to be priests of the high places. And they taught the people this same worship. So they repeated the same pattern. Who taught them that? The northern kingdom, the one that had been taken. The high priest of the high places that Jeroboam had created, came back and taught them to continue that system. So even the people that were transplanted into the land began to do this. And they were taught by this priest that was sent back. Just want you to know that this was not a Levitical priest. Because a lot of brothers be saying, you know, he sent back this Levite. No, he did not send back a Levite. The Levite were in Jerusalem. This was a priesthood created by Jeroboam. Let's continue to read. But we have these people worshiping their own God. So they feared Yah and made unto themselves the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared Yah and served their own God after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from there. Unto this day do they the former manner. They fear not Yah, neither do they alter, or neither do they after their statutes, or after their ordinances, or after their law, the commandments which Yah commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel. So we see people today. They say they fear God, but then when they observe and worship pagan holidays, then they're fearing him, but still worshiping these other gods that are associated with these holidays, because the Most High is not associated with them. Even Easter, which we know is the Feast of the First Fruit, and they say that they are worshiping the Messiah. But the pagan god of Easter, Esther, the goddess of fertility, they have tied to the Most High. And he said, don't do that. We were commanded to keep that day before they were. So they have corrupted our feast day and tied to it the goddess of fertility. Because everybody has to ask themselves, what do bunny rabbits and eggs have to do with Christ's resurrection? His death. Those don't have anything to do with that. It is the worship of these false pagan gods that they have tied to Feast of the First Fruit and called it Easter. And then tied the Most High's name to it. So he cannot be happy with that. And these people we see in Kings, they feared Yah, but they worship their own gods. The God of this land don't like us doing this, but we worship our own gods. We fear him, but we're still worshiping our own God. We're doing that same thing, just maybe not as blatant as they were. And then we want to say, oh, we'll tie the name of Jesus to it, or we'll tie the name of the Most High to it, and it'll be all good. But we'll practice the thing. We'll have Easter egg hunts. And if they really knew how these people, pagans, celebrated, they would have sex on their altars. They would get the girls and get put them in, you know, new dresses and then go have sex with them on the altar. And they're tying the Most High to that? So we have to understand. You can see this even in the book of Kings. That when the Most High took Israel out and they continued to worship in the high places, they kept doing these things. And even when the nation was taken over and other people were transplanted into the land, who was sent back? One of the high priests from the northern kingdom to teach them to continue to do to worship the Most High in, or to fear the Most High in the wrong way, and to keep worshiping in these high places. Let's continue. In the book of John chapter 4, when we read about the Samaritan woman, as well as Yeshua about where to worship, he told her not to worship on the mountain, but in spirit and in truth. The Samaritans have been among those people who continued the practice of worshiping in the high places. So when you see him go to Samaria, you just read the history of Samaria. And we didn't read everything, but I said as an overview, when Shalmaneser came in and besieged the city of Samaria, that was the capital of Israel, the northern kingdom. When he took it over, he renamed the whole region Samaria, not just that city, but the whole region. He renamed it Samaria. And then he transplanted some people in there. This is what he did. He took Israel out and transplanted some people in. And this is what he did to all the nations that he conquered. He would remove the local population and place some foreigners there. So they didn't have a reason to fight for the land. It wasn't theirs. It's not our homeland. So they move in and try to make it there. But we are told in the Chronicles that he didn't get everybody. Some people escaped from him. Some people from the northern kingdom escaped from King Shalmaneser, and they stayed in the land. And they continued to practice these ways, serving other gods, worshiping in the high places, sacrificing to Chemosh and all these other gods, Molech. So when we see this woman in John chapter 4, when Messiah comes to her, and she says it's this woman of Samaria, and she claims to be of the seed of Jacob. She is of the seed of Jacob. And when she says, in this mountain, our fathers do worship, she's doing, telling him, we're still doing what? We're still worshiping in the high places. And Messiah simply says to her, in the future, the time is coming when people will either worship the Most High in this mountain or at Jerusalem. You corrupt worshiping him, the Most High in this mountain, and they have corrupted themselves in Jerusalem. But men will worship the Most High in spirit and in truth. So let's go read this account. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 18. Let's get verse 4, starting in verse 4. 2 Kings chapter 18, starting in verse 4. Hezekiah removed the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. Remember the brazen serpent that when the people were disobedient, the Most High sent serpents in amongst the people. When they got bit, they were to look at this serpent. And if they look at this serpent, then they would be healed. That was during the time of Moses. Moses is long gone. And these people are still worshiping this serpent. That serpent was called Neshatan. But Josiah, the king who did the best job of pulling down the high places, he was the one who had been prophesied about many years before, as we read in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 32, and 2 Kings chapter 23, goes into great detail about all that Josiah did to get the root of the idolatrous practice and destroy every last vestige of them. 2 Kings chapter 23. Starting in verse 4 and 5. 4 and 5, then we'll skip to 8. 2 Kings chapter 23. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, the priest of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of Yah. Now here it is, out of the temple of Yah, all the vessels that were made for Baal. The people in Jerusalem had what? Corrupted themselves, and they had made these things, vessels, for Baal and for the grove and for all the host of heaven. The grove was for Asherah. And then they were also worshiping what? The host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. Verse 5. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah. So he took the priesthood that was the Levite in Judah who were doing this, and he did what? He put them down. And the places around about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Drop down to verse 19. And all the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke Yah to anger, Josiah the king took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. So he took them, tore them down, and he burnt them. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars, and burned the men's bones upon them, and returned to Jerusalem. Josiah then was the agent of Yah who fulfilled the word of Yah, spoken back in 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse 2. Josiah is clearly a type of Christ, the king who would love Yah enough to do the hard work of removing the idols and the places of idolatrous worship from the land, no matter how popular or conventional they had become. It is easy to imagine how a young Yeshua read about Josiah would have internalized the lesson of this good king's life, that sometimes you had to dig deep and be willing to buck the system in order to bring needed changes. Perhaps this fueled his passion when he overturned the tables in the temple, incurring the wrath of the authorities that eventually contribute to his crucifixion. All right, give me a minute here. Let me play a song. And I'll be right back.
There is no fear, 'cause I believe.
Let us go to the book of 2 Chronicles. I want us to see something here. See how subtle and how people can take things and do what's right in their own eyes concerning what Yah has said and not do what he says to do. Let's look and see what this verse says to us. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. And let's get verse 17. It says, "And nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto Yah, Yah only." So they are up in the high places. They are making sacrifices to Yah, and they're not sacrificing to any other god, but they are going against what Yah has said. Don't worship me in the high places. But they thought that they were doing the right thing. Well, we'll just worship the Most High, and we'll worship him in these high places that he told us not to do it. They probably thought that they were really making an improvement by worshiping only Yah at the high places, but they had completely compromised his word. Instead of removing the high places according to the word of Yah, they used the altars to worship Yah, contrary to his word. In doing so, they were only rearranging the furniture on the Titanic, as it were. It was a sinking ship, because Yah was not going for this. They maintained the forms of pagan worship as the platform for worshiping the true Yah, contrary to what Yah wanted them to do. If one is going to worship Yah, shouldn't he or she do so in the way that blesses Yah? He wanted them to pull down the high places and not to think that they were getting closer to him by standing on hilltops. Getting closer to him was and is a matter of the heart and of obedience, not physical elevation or any other fleshly condition. In the Old Testament, when Yah commanded the tabernacle to be built, it was a place for Yah to dwell with the people. The people did not meet inside the tabernacle. Only the priests entered the tabernacle. The people met together and worshiped Yah outside under the open sky. They never entered the tabernacle or later the temple. Today, Yah does not dwell in a building. He dwells in our hearts. We do not have to meet at a special building or enter into a special building to worship Yah. A church building is not needed for us to meet or worship Yah, nor is it needed for the center of life of the church or the body. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Because we need to understand that Yah gave Israel the temple so that they would have a place to come and worship him, but they never entered into that temple, only the priesthood. Same way with the tabernacle. The people never entered in, but the people found that, hey, we can't get into the tabernacle, we can't get into the temple, but we can go up on these high hills. Acts chapter 17, verse 24 through 25. Yah that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Yah, the Elohim of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath in all things. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 48 through 51. The book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 48 through 51. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith Yah, place of my rest? Has not my hands made all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. Now, when the Most High brought Israel into the wilderness and he had the tabernacle made, it was his desire to reside amongst his people, but to also fill them with his spirit. And because of their murmurings and their sin, Yah couldn't fill them, couldn't even be among them in the wilderness. He said, you know, you got to take the tabernacle outside the camp. I can't be amongst this people, or else I will consume them. I will kill them all. But he wanted to actually do what he promised in Joel from the very beginning. I want to put my spirit within you. So he accuses them and he says, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As is today, Israel is still resisting the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Most High, being stiff-necked and hard-headed, thinking that they can save themselves by keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments. The statutes, laws, and commandments only show us. The law only shows us how we transgress against the Most High and how not to transgress against him. But the Most High says, my resting place has always been, I want it to rest in my people. I want to reside in them. So in the book of Acts, after, I believe it's Stephen, after he runs through this history of Israel, for him running down this history of Israel, they got so mad, they came up and bit this brother. A crowd came, just imagine a crowd coming up and angrily biting you and then stoning you to death because he didn't told you that you resist the Most High Elohim. You resist his spirit. He wants to dwell in you, and Israel could never understand it. So he said, you stiff-necked and hard-hearted, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. From the wilderness you've resisted all the way up until this time, and we can still see that today. This is where the Most High wanted to dwell, because when he had temples and tabernacles, the people still went. They never came down for worship in those high places. Even Solomon did it. Let's continue. The book of Isaiah, chapter 66. The book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. Thus saith Yah, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been, saith Yah. But to this man will I look, him to is poor, who him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. That's where I want to reside. The one that hears me and obeys me and trembles at my word. That's where I have always wanted to reside. That's why I told Israel, fear me. We read that this morning. What does he want? What does he require? One of the first things that he required was, fear me. Isaiah says, hey, you want to build me a house? Where is the house that you're going to build me, seeing that I have already made everything in the earth? If I wanted a house in the earth, I would have made one. And what you don't realize, when I made man, I made the place where I choose, where I want to reside. These people are putting up places, temples, and altars on in the high places. And that's not where I want to meet you at. That's not where I want to reside. So don't do as these nations are doing. And don't think you're getting closer to me by going up into these high places and worshiping me and burning incense to me. Much less you're worshiping idols. I don't want you going up there worshiping idols, false gods, but I don't want you going up there and worshiping me. Don't do that. My place that I want to be, where I want to reside, is in you. That's where my rest is. That's where I desire to reside. When I brought you into the wilderness, I didn't want you to build me an altar on top of Mount Sinai. I wanted to rest in you, my people, who I had brought out of Egypt. And you resisted me even in the wilderness. Let's continue. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7. Let's get verses 1 through 14. Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 14. The word that came to Jeremiah from Yah, saying, stand in the gate of Yah's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of Yah, all you of Judea, and enter in at these gates to worship Yah. Thus saith Yah of hosts, Yah of Israel, amend your ways and your doing, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust you not in lying words, saying, the temple of Yah, the temple of Yah, the temple of Yah are these. But if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other Elohim to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers, forever and ever. Behold, you trust in incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Is this the house which is called by my name? Is this the house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith Yah. But go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because you have done all these works, saith Yah, and I spoke unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, and I called to you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I have gave to you, to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. He destroyed the temple at Shiloh. He destroyed the temple that was in Jerusalem. I want to dwell in you, but you keep wanting to worship the wrong thing. You keep wanting to worship Baal. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17. The Most High told our people, they say, when you go into these nations that I'm going to send you into, tear down their high places. Tear down their Asherah, their Asherim that are dedicated to Asherah. Tear down their altars. Bring all of their holy things out. Burn them because they are worshiping false. The only thing that is worthy of worship in the earth, the way the Most High designed it, is Him. And when mankind makes up his own gods, his own idols, when he builds altars, and he tries to, you know, get closer to the Elohim of heaven, whomever he might think that is, and a lot of them didn't think it was the Most High. They thought it was Baal or Chemosh or Asherah or whatever other gods that they could make up and come up with. They thought they could get close to him by going up on these mountains, by building high towers. They said they're closer to God. They're closer to the Most High Elohim. He says, I don't want you doing that because that's not what it's about. And you're not worshiping me in spirit and in truth. Even when you do it unto me, the same things you did unto these other gods by worshiping them in the high places, when you do it unto me, it's not acceptable. Let us go to First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Let's wrap this up. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Know ye not that you are the temple of Yah, and that the Spirit of Yah dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of Yah, him shall Yah destroy. But the temple of Yah is holy, which temple you are. This is where Yah always wanted to be. He tells us we are his temple. And if we defile the temple of Yah, he says he will destroy us. Wait a minute, we are that temple. So we can't be defiling ourselves. Because if Yah dwells in us, then we are now his place of residence. And if we defile his temple, then he says he's going to destroy us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, get verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of Yah, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify Yah in your body. And in your spirit, which are Yah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. And what agreement has the temple of Yah with idols? For you are the temple of the living Yah, or the living Elohim. As Yah said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their Elohim, or I will be, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separated, saith Yah, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. So we hear, you know, we read in verses, it's clear where Yah has always wanted to reside in his people. In his people. And so, this is also a call for us to come together, come out from her, come out of the world, come out of the churches, come out of the city, come out of their government. I have a kingdom. And the one that's going to be ruling in the kingdom is me, through you. If you will allow me to fill you, take up residence in you. This is where I've always desired to be. Don't be like your forefathers, stiff-necked, hard-hearted. Don't resist me. We read that even in our reading this morning, said that we were not to resist him, but we were to hold to him. This is what he requires. And he wants to reside in us, his people. This is my place of rest. This is my residence. This is my temple. So he says, come out from among them and be ye separate. People think that we can live amongst the heathen and not be affected by them. But the truth of the matter is, this is a call for us to come out from amongst them, have our own communities, have our own businesses, be self-supporting, have our own law, the laws of the Most High. And we will refuse to do this because, oh, we need the world. No, we don't need the world. We have everything we need within Israel already. All we got to do is just come together, coalesce together, congregate, live amongst each other, enforce our own community. Separate it. He says, separate yourself. So we think that, oh, if we don't deal with them, we're separated. Because we work for them, because we do business with them, then we have to break the Sabbath. We have to go by their feast days. They're closed on their feast days, but on our feast days, they're up and doing business. But we should be closed on our own feast days. The feast days are the Most High. We should be governing ourselves by the Spirit of Yah. Because I want to be in you. I want to be leading. Let's continue. So this is that call to separate ourselves. You can't separate yourself. Oh, yeah, I just won't go out among them. I won't go to the clubs. I won't go, you know, do this or do that. But when your economy is geared off of theirs, you are not separate. When you have to obey their laws of when their stores are open or closed, when they are open for business or not, then you have not come out from her. Having separated ourselves. If we separate ourselves and we are our own economy, then when we want to be closed, we're closed. Yah says you close from this day. This day is a holy day. We are not open on this day. If he says these days are holy days, we are not open in those days, and everybody in the community adheres to it. Everybody in the nation adheres to it. We don't have to worry about whether we can attend this or not. Because our economy is not, we're not being dictated by our boss or the company that we're working for. Oh, no, you need to work on this day. So this is that call that he's making to us out of the book of Galatians. No, what's that Galatians? That's Corinthians. Come out. Separate yourself. I will be in you. See, if we separate ourselves because we just want to be economically independent and we want to reproduce what the world has done and say that we're doing it, then we don't have the protection of the Most High because our premise would be wrong. Our premise is that we're trying to show that we're just as good as they are. We don't have to show that we're just as good as anybody. Our premise has to be that we are separating ourselves to bring about the kingdom of the Most High. This is what he has called us to do. So when we separate ourselves and we start creating our own businesses, we have our own little farms, we buy our own food. Now, we might have to, even today, as I'm looking at this, we only have to get electricity from them or water. We can be totally separate. And as long as we don't bother them, they won't bother us. We evangelize, and whosoever will, let them come. If Yah puts it on their heart, let them come, because then they will be able to live the life that Yah has said we can live. In his community, his kingdom will grow. But because we operate out of fear, we operate out of this is all we know, then we don't really want to separate ourselves. We're dependent upon them. And Yah is saying, you don't have to be. I will supply all your needs. I will make it, even if you, some of you have to work for them, you won't be tied to them. If they, you know, they will understand that, hey, this is what you keep when they hire you. And if they don't hire you, then you have to find work within our own community. We have to make jobs. We have to do business with ourselves so that we don't have to be dependent. So Yah has given us the commandment. He's given us the instruction. He told us who we are. You are the temple. You are my temple. You are where I dwell at. I want you to be in a place that is holy and clean, where the people fear me. Don't go build me a temple on no high mountain or put up this altar to me in this low valley, because I'm not going to meet you there. I want to be in you, literally. This is why I created you. Where's the house you're going to build me? I built my own temple from the very beginning. The end of it all, I want to reside in you. Hope we can hear. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 and 17 again. And what agreement has the temple of Yah with idols? We're the temple of Yah. For you are the temple of the living Elohim. As Yah has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith Yah, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Can we hear that and believe that? Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of Yah, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Yeshua HaMashiach, himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in Yah. When we come into Messiah, when we are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, we become part of that temple fitly framed together, the holy temple of Yah, with Yahshua being the head of that temple, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of Yah through what? We are the temple of the Most High. He wants to inhabit us. He doesn't want us to build altars in the high places, because I ain't there. He said, when I had a temple in the earth, you corrupted that. I ain't going to be there either. When Messiah came and the veil of the temple was rent, you became that living tabernacle through Messiah. We are all supposed to be living tabernacles, offering the Most High to people. He says, but you need to be separated. Because if you continue to live in this world, the world will corrupt you. The world will require you to do those things that are contrary to me. You'll be saying you love me, and the world will be making you do things that say that you don't love me. Separate yourself. Come out of her. And what's so striking, or what's so amazing about this, we could actually do this. You know, they can't do this in every land, but in America, we could do this. There's nothing stopping us from doing it but we ourselves. We're the only ones stopping us. Yah says to separate yourself. That don't mean that I stopped going to the clubs. You know, I stopped doing those things I used to do. I only congregate with people who believe like me. But we are still affected by this world because we haven't really separated ourselves from it. We are still dependent upon it. So one by one, group by group, we have to come out of her, build our own economy, sell, you know, buy and sell food from ourselves, buy and sell clothes from ourselves. Whatever it is, the gift that Yah has given us, we have to use it to his glory and to his kingdom. We will go buy stuff. We will go buy stuff and still buy it from the world and be in that world so that we can survive in that world. But Yah says to separate ourselves from this world. We are in the world, but not of it. So we can buy the land. We can put up the structures. We can build the businesses. We can sell to other Hebrews and build wealth within ourselves. Because here's the problem. Let me take a minute here. The African American, so-called Negro, so-called Negro. I hate to say the word. African-American so-called Negro has between the 16th and the 19th largest economy in the world. There are only little over 200 countries in the world. Only 19 of them are larger than the African-American as a nation, as a people. That means that there's 185, 186 some odd countries that are poorer than we are as just a people, and they are nations. How is it that we can think that we are so poor because we measure ourselves by our captor and say we're not doing as good as our captors are? The truth of the matter is, if we came together as a people, we would be a nation, self-sufficient, 10th largest nation in the world, the 19th richest nation in the world, former slaves, still in the land of their captivity. And this is what is within us, and we can't find it within us to come together, to separate ourselves. Something's wrong. There is something wrong. So we have it within us that Yah has blessed us with the ability to do this without a fear, out of thinking that, oh, I'm going to be in an occult, I'm a heretic, whatever reason, the fear that I'm going to die with nothing. We came into this world with nothing. When we leave, we can't take it with us. And if we already know that, then why would we not be at least using it for the furtherance of the commandment which Yah has given us? If we say we worship him for real, and we follow him for real, to do what he said to do for real, and not walk in fear. Not worry about whether I'm going to have a home or whether I'm going to have a car or any of that type of stuff, because truth be known, you cannot take that stuff with you. And the older I've gotten, the more I realized it. We are stuck in this capitalistic system, and it's contrary to what Yah has said. It's contrary to what he commands us to do. But it's all we have known, and we have acclimated to it. We have been driven by it. But I'm just saying to you, brothers and sisters, examine yourself. Yah commands us to come out of her. If we develop our own land, build our own communities, for Yah's sake, not so that we can, I'm telling you, this is what has happened to our people. We know about Black Wall Street, and we know about, there's been about 12 Black Wall Street, if the truth be known. If you do the history, the Caucasians in this country, every time that we have tried to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps to be economically equal to them, have our own power and wealth, because it wasn't done for Yah, they did not have the protection of Yah. They weren't doing it for the right reason. And Yah didn't protect them. We have to understand that this is for his kingdom. It's not so that we can say, oh, we are economically viable and we are equal to you. We don't care less about being equal to you. Not our motivation. Our motivation is the establishment of the kingdom of Yah, to do what our Father has said to do. He says, if you will do what I said to do, I will be with you. I will protect you. Don't fear them. So we can't walk in fear. Our motivation is not so that we are economically secure and that we're trying to be like our captors. We're trying to prove to them that we're just as good as them. No, we are. This is a takeover by the Most High. We are his soldiers. And he has an army that we don't even have to fight. Push come to shove, the Most High just dispatch. He don't even just need to dispatch a legion of angels, just one angel. Because don't fear them. So we have to do this. There is, like I said, we will be without excuse. Period. Point blank. Cannot say to Yah, oh, we didn't know. We couldn't do it. No. This land says you can worship whatever God you want to worship. You can worship him in whatever way you want to worship him. Well, this is what our God says to do. This is what our Elohim says to do. Separate yourself from them. Establish my kingdom in the earth. Don't look to get rich and enrich yourself. Look after the welfare of your fellow servants. Look after each other. Have all things in common. Because, see, a lot of us are operating off of pride. Well, yeah, I got a better car than you. I got a better house than you. I got a better job than you. All of these vain things, which are not important to the Most High. He says, you know what? If that's your motivation, then you're not for me. He says, I want my people to have all things in common. I don't want any poor amongst them. I don't want anybody lacking amongst them. That's why he says, I'm going to go get those that are poor in spirit. They're not all puffed up. And I will reside in them, and I will make my kingdom off of them. And ain't nobody going to mess with them because they have to deal with me. Can we hear him? Can we do it? Will we do it? And it needs to be set up in such a way that it's not just this generation. When we die out, it dies out. It has to be done in such a way that it will go from generation to generation, that young people will come into it, and that they will continue to do and to spread the word of Yah and to establish his kingdom in the earth until he returns. If we're going to obey him, we don't need to worry about building a big temple. We are the temple. We don't have to build a big church. We are the church. We are the body. And as soon as we can understand that and truly live the way that he says, the better off we will be. We won't have a lot of these pressures on us. If we can produce our own electricity, why do we need an electric bill? We won't need an electric bill. Our people won't need to pay for electricity. If we produce enough food, why do they have to pay for food? The things that we commonly need, we have to eat every day. Once we create the first crop, we get the seeds for the next crop. We count on Yah to send the rain and to send the proper weather so that we flourish. We can still use modern devices. Knowledge has increased. The Most High didn't say reject knowledge. He says my people are killed for lack of knowledge. So we invest in solar. We invest in wind to fuel our own community. Because he's saying, you know, these are non-destructive types of energy. He's coming back for those who destroy the planet. He's coming back to destroy them. So we can't be investing in things that destroy the planet. Then we are contrary to him. So we invest in the solar. We invest in the wind. We can have houses that we don't pay for electricity. Our people don't have those things. We have common houses where everybody has the same space. And then when you get married, then you're allocated enough space for your family. Because right now we do it on our own, and then we end up having to sell. You know, once our kids are gone, we have to do what? Sell that space, downsize, because we don't need all that space. But if we just have communities where it's provided and it's expected that, hey, you're going to take care of it, you don't have to pay for electricity. You don't have to pay for food. You don't have to pay for water. The business is the word of Yah. And those things that revolve around that. So he's telling us to come out. And I know these things can be done. I have researched them out. They're not that expensive these days. We need the young people as well, though. We cannot do it being up in years alone. This is not something that we want to die out with us. So we have to start getting it right. So we can't be letting sin run amok within us, because we saw the examples that we read. When one person was in sin, it was enough to cause the Most High to walk away. There's sin amongst you. Find out who it is and dispatch of it. Dispatch with it. Get rid of it. You want me to be with you? Don't let this go on. Oh, but my baby, your baby was hard-headed and stiff-necked. When they are taught from baby, then they know what they're doing. And if they choose to do it, Most High says, the punishment has to come. When we are running around lawless, making things up as we go with no standard, what seems right in our own eyes, then this seems right to this parent and this seems right to that parent. Where's the standard at? I don't discipline my children for that. So if they do it, I don't want you disciplining them for it. No, you're part of the community. This is the standard in the community. If you let your child do that, if you don't discipline them, then the community will discipline them. They have to know that this is not allowed. And so when we get our own neighborhood and people won't let other people police their children, and sometimes for good reason, I know why that is. Everybody ain't on the up and up, but that's why everybody has to be on the up and up. It has to be the way. You leave them in this person's company, and then you come back to find out that they've been molesting your child. All kind of hell going to break out. And that's what's the problem with our people. But when we know that you are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and that your life shows that you are walking upright with the Most High, then I can trust you with leaving my child in your presence. And we teach our children, hey, anybody touch you inappropriately, don't fear. Don't fear them. As soon as you get into the company of another adult, you make it known so that we can put this stuff away. Because then all the men should come, or whoever it is, to come and deal with that person. Can't be tolerated. In Torah, these were death sentences. I'm not saying that we killed the people, but we put them from among us. You can't come around here no more. You are no longer a member of this community. You got to go. Oh, you got a wife and kids? They go too. Because in the Torah, they would have killed them all. And the wife may not even have been aware of this. Most High didn't care. More than likely, she was aware. So Yah is calling us out. That being said, brothers and sisters, I pray something was said to encourage you this evening, that you would see that even the king, Yah said they walked before him and they were good kings. They did that which was right. But still, he had an ought with them. They didn't tear down those high places. I told them when they go into the land, tear these things down. Prepare the land for me. This is what he was telling them. Prepare the land for me so that I can come and reside in my people. As long as they're practicing all of this false worship and stuff, my only recourse is to kick them out of the land, destroy them. But if they do what I say, then I'll come reside and I will be among them. My ultimate goal is to reside in them, not among them, but in them. That's what Yah wants. So we have to make ourselves available to that. We have to make ourselves available to be that temple, his temple. This is what he has desired from the day that he created Adam. And all we have to do is be willing vessels. Don't need to build a church. Need to build community. We are the church. We are the temple. Let us pray. Father Yah, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that we might remove the high places even in our own mind. Those things that we think that we're doing that are pleasing to you, but they are contrary to you. We pray that you would remove the fear from us, that we might complete your commandments, gather ourselves together, come together as one, establish your kingdom and your government in the world based upon truth and based upon your spirit. Give us this year all that we need to get the land, to start to establish your kingdom in this earth, to invest in the technology that will support us as a people, that will help us to be separated. That we might do your work. The work that you have assigned to us, the building and the establishment of your kingdom in the earth, to convert souls, to provide a place for those that are hungry for you, for those that have been hurt, that they might come and be able to heal, that they might have a safe environment, that they might learn of you, Father, that your ways are the best ways, that these things that are done for our good and not to our hurt. that we might teach our young men and our young women how to properly conduct themselves, how to not make the same mistakes that we made, Father. That we might raise up a holy nation unto you, that we might take territory for you, that we might advance your kingdom in this earth. And that should you come while we are in the midst of the work, that you will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That you wouldn't take from us and give it to somebody else because we didn't do anything but what you told us to do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. We will be picking up this series, as I said. We don't do anything on Sundays, Mondays, and Wednesdays right now. And perhaps I think we will do this on a Sunday. Because most of us are not working on Sundays, even because of the world. But this is critical to our healing. Dealing with this post-traumatic slave disorder and what spirits that we brought with us out of slavery that we don't know or we don't admit, we don't own, but they own in us. You know, I have a question, something for you to ponder. If 83%, now listen to this, this was in 1996, 83% of the children being born into our families were being born out of wedlock. Born out of wedlock. That takes two to tango. We're not trying to point fingers here. But the truth of the matter is, that means that 83% of our people are doing what? Fornicating. And having babies. The babies are the proof. You know, people can say anything. But when you are producing children out of wedlock, that's not just producing children out of wedlock. The acts that how the children got here, wait a minute, you are going against the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. You are not living a holy life. Our young women are not being taught to be chaste. And what I mean by chaste, I don't mean by like chaste and as a man after them sexually. I'm talking about chaste as in keeping themselves. Not giving in to peer pressure. Fearing the Most High Elohim that, no, I can't do this thing. And our young men as well. A nation, a generation headed toward the lake early. Totally corrupt. 50% of our people, and probably I got to look up the latest, but at one time the statistic I know was 50% of our people in divorce. Husband still alive, getting married to somebody else. A nation of adulterers. This is by the standards of the Most High. We can't use our own standards. And I know that in these discussions that we will tend to get into our feelings, get into our emotions, and we will not look at this thing through the eyes of Yah. We will be looking for blame, to point blame at one person or another, one sex or another. This is not the intent of this series or these classes, because that's what they're going to develop into, because our people are sick. So we have to get, anytime you are trying to solve something, you're trying to cure something, you have to get to the root of it, no matter where it may take you. And so when you're looking for truth, you have to follow the truth. You have to follow the facts, even when it gets emotional. And just put it where it's at. And so, like I said, I know that this series, because we are hurting and we're looking for, you know, well, it's the man's fault. He's not at the head. He's not doing what he's supposed to do. It's the woman's fault. She's doing this. She's doing that. We got to deal with each gender separately, because we got different issues. And you know me from my teachings that I'm not, I try to keep things balanced. So I don't want anybody saying, oh, you're attacking the women. No, I'm not attacking the women, but the women are the key to this to begin with. It is always today, always your decision to say no to a man's advance. You're not married to me. I want to get with you. I love you. We ain't married. That's okay. We gonna get married. No, we have to start teaching our young women to say no and to be proud to say no. And understand and have the fear of the Most High to say no. Because you know what? If she says yes, then now she's a fornicator, he's a fornicator, they are not married. And if she has been formally married and her husband is still alive, Messiah said, hey, that's adultery. You're not free to go marry somebody else if you get divorced. So think carefully about who you get married to, because it's not an easy thing for you to come out of it and be right with the Most High. See, we don't consider these things, and we haven't been considering these things. We've just been going along and, oh, you make me happy today. Tomorrow I'm not happy with you. Oh, we're just so unhappy, we're going to get separated. I'm going to find me somebody new. If the man was honorable, he wouldn't be looking at, going out looking either. If he's possessed by that spirit of pleasure, lasciviousness, and he just sees the woman as a piece of meat, a way to get off, a possession, then that brother has not been taught well, and he still needs to be held accountable. So our focus cannot be the world. Our focus has to be through the lens of the Most High. That's who we're trying to get back to. That's who we're trying to please. I don't care less what the world thinks. I can care less if the world sees some of our women as being strong and beautiful. I can care less about that. Are they being strong and beautiful and still doing these things that go against Yah? Because that negates, them being out of the will of Yah negates all of that other stuff. No matter how strong and beautiful you are, if you are headed to the lake and if you're leading your children to the lake. So we need to deal with these. We need to bring our children in. And they don't have to do it. You know what? Your children don't grow up. They become grown. And they have a decision to make for themselves as well. Your grandchildren eventually grow up. They have to make decisions for themselves. But is it better to expose them to the truth and to require it of them than to not? Because if you don't, what did you just relegate them to? A lake. Oh, but the only thing you can do is tell them. Each one of us had to make the choice for ourselves. They have to make the choice for themselves. But if we get them when they're young, they're impressionable, then they are more apt to do it and to stay in it. Our lives have to be structured that way. If we are out doing this, that, and the other, we can't tell our children that they can't do it. So this is what it's going to take. And we have to start dealing with these spirits of women sleeping with men, having multiple babies by different men because they refuse to keep their legs closed because I need to have a man, or I need this bill paid, or I need for him to do this. And for him to do this, then he wants to sleep with me. So now I got a baby by this man, and I'm unmarried, and I want to be married. And so I have a get with this man, and I got another baby by him. Spirit that comes out of slavery. When the woman, all women were required to sleep with whatever man master said, whether it was a slave, his uncle, his brother, himself, didn't have a choice whether she got pregnant or not. If she got pregnant, she had to bear the baby and keep it. She got used to having babies by different men as a requirement. We brought that stuff out of slavery with us. We need to deal with it. We need to deal with it. Because it's not supposed to be so amongst our women. Not supposed to be that way amongst any women, but especially not amongst our women. You are to be held to a higher esteem than that, a higher regard than that. So, yeah, we're going to deal with that, but we're going to also deal with the men. That's why a lot of brothers can't listen to me, because they don't want to come out of their mess. They want to be perpetrators of the mess, not here. Very careful. Because I know us. I know us as men. I know how we operate. I know what motivates us. I know how easy it is for the man and the woman, for the flesh to get in the way. But the real reason behind that is the lack of the fear of Yah. Don't fear the consequences. We don't fear the consequences. Because it don't come immediately. We don't fear it. But our people have to be taught to fear Yah. So I pray, I think we're going to start doing this on Sunday. Most people don't work that day. I want to get maximum participation so we can really start dealing with these things. What is the root of this spirit? And our ladies have to be held accountable. The mothers have to hold them accountable. The fathers have to hold them accountable. So I pray that we can hear this so that when we come together, there's a genuine love and a trust among us because we're believing the same thing and motivated by the same thing. And that we're going to hold each other accountable. And we're going to hold our young people accountable. And our middle-aged people accountable. And anybody that won't submit themselves to authority, got to go. Won't submit yourself? You think you're all that in a bag of chips and can't nobody tell you anything? You can't submit yourself to authority? That you're above? Clearly, you're not who Yah is looking for. He said, I'm looking for those that are poor in spirit. And then in your case, you are puffed up and proud and can't submit yourself. And that's our people's problem right now. We don't want to be accountable. But we have to be accountable. And the more that we can separate ourselves from this world, the better off we will be. So there are ways to doing this, and I pray that, you know, Yah give us the strength, because when these other plagues and these other judgments start coming, and these are things to call men into repentance, just like this COVID was, to call men and is, call men unto repentance, and if they still won't repent, it's not going to get better. We need to already be in place, wherever we're going to be. Because the cities are going to go crazy. won't be able to find food, won't be able to find work. Crime will go through the roof. And if you're stuck in the cities, you ain't going to be safe in your own home. If they think you got something, you know they're going to come in and break in on you. But if we are not in that stuff, we have a means to protect ourselves. We also have Yah first. But he don't say don't protect yourself. He don't say don't do the things to protect yourself. But he also says, I will be with you. So if push comes to shove, he said, I will give you the victory. I will make sure that you're conserved. Just like our men went into battle and Yah was going before them, none of them were supposed to die. But when somebody died, it was a big deal. What do you mean? Yah is with us. Nobody died. And then Yah says, no, there's sin in the camp. And I pulled away from you. So we have to understand what our Most High, what he will do, and what he won't do, and what he will support and what he won't support. And just have a clean and pure heart before him. With that being said, may the Most High keep you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, know that I love you, but Yah loves you so much more. Shalom.
Teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away.